What a round of football it was. One of my favourite rounds of the year, the Women in League round last week. And Mother's Day on Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there. You're doing an amazing job. We've got a lot of community shout-outs. Actually, Bo, you did an amazing job at the NRLW rookie camp last week. I've heard a lot of people bragging about how well you did at the media session there. Jess Skinner also presented there too. So it was great to have a lot of our culture in there, talking to these young NRLW rookies and getting them ready for the future of rugby league that they're about to step into. Also, Cowboys House, they've got an expansion now. They do graduates up there and look after people that are transitioning into the workplace.
Yeah.
All the great work they do in the community up there, servicing Cape York and the Gulf and all those places up there. It's going to be a massive difference to them up there. But you got some shout-outs as well?
Yeah, I do, Dino. I think this one, because it's so close to my heart around the Northern Territory, the NRLNT have a girls-only teams and games for under-9s and under-11s. It's happening every Friday night from the 30th of May right to the 20th of June at TRL Stadium. But the thing I love about it is that was never around when I was a little girl. And the fact that they're starting to put the, you know, have these opportunities, they're seeing our girls play on TV, the NRLW girls, and they're wanting to play rugby league now is amazing. And I just, you know, I really, I thank the NRLNT for doing this. It's really special to me. So, yeah. Yeah, that was amazing. Also, I've got a shout out to my two nephews, Chase and Quade, which are the sons of our deadly Missy and Katie Shaw. They're playing this week for Australia in the Asia Pacific Touch Championships for the junior kids, so under 20s and under 18s. So yeah, good luck to them, and I'll definitely see them over the weekend.
So much talent out there amongst our mob, and look, this expansion that just got announced last week with the WA, the Perth Bears, coming into the competition in 2027. I think this is a great opportunity for a lot of our mob out there. You know, we just got a report from young Bailey Miller out there as a Wajak Noongar who plays with the North Beach Seagulls out there in the WA competition. Scored 7 tries after 4 rounds over there. So another young player that's looking to sort of develop his career. But you look at the talent of our Indigenous athletes in Perth, in WA, in South Australia, particularly in the Northern Territory. Rugby league has got to start getting some of those athletes coming through our system and playing in the elite levels. And I look at that team that's coming through over there in Perth. They've got an opportunity to do that. The PNG team, I think if they want a point of difference, they've got to go into the Torres Strait Islands and they've got to go particularly into North Queensland from Cairns up outside the Cowboys area and develop some of that raw talent up there, and that will give that team the X factor. I hope the Perth Bears do the same with the X factor from, like I said, the NT, South Australia and WA and the Indigenous communities out there, because I think they'll make a big difference. But this expansion means the game's growing, doesn't it, T?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the feeder club of that is going to be North Sydney, and they've got around 200,000 fans, sorry. And also, you know, the opportunities for players that are going into the Super League, like that might stop that from them going over there. Like, imagine having a Bevan French not having to go to Super League and make some money and play over there. Like, now there's opportunities to play with other clubs like this new franchise. And, you know, we are a national competition with a National Rugby League. Everything's along the East Coast. Mm-hmm. It's so good that, you know, our commissioners and Andrew Abdo is starting to spread out a lot more and get nationally, because, you know, I feel like this is going to be a really good development place for not only Indigenous, but for our Cup players as well. Like, there's a lot of good Queensland Cup and New South Wales Cup players that can play in first grade. It's just limited opportunities at the moment here on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of fringe players, as you mentioned, T, that could be going into the NRL. But my biggest question, like, and I love the fact that we're trying to get into those Western states, even though it is AFL country over there, my question is where do they schedule it? Like, we've got that many games happening. Like, are they taking away from NRLW and putting these new games in? Like, you know, there's Thursday night games, Friday nights, Saturday, Sundays. Are they going to have to go to Monday again?
We're going to be very tired. We're going to be watching a lot of football. You know, Monday night, that's a big competition, big weekend of football every week. The recovery issues then become into it. The NRLW is getting bigger, so there's going to be more games of footy played there.
School boys footy might come in. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking at Western Australia, the time zones as well. Like, is Perth going to be playing day games so we can watch them at night, because there won't be any night games?
Definitely some challenges, but it can work. I think they can find ways to make it all fit in. And it's there for the rugby league fans. You're going to have rugby league played all week virtually. You won't have to wait too long for the competition. So, but I think the opportunity, and like T said, the fact that we can now go national are two big advantages for us. us to not ignore this great opportunity to go over there to Perth. Mm. Now, looking on the weekend's games, just going through some of the great comebacks, I thought, on the weekend's game. That's what it was all about. And the Titans with their huge comeback up there in Newcastle. The Bulldogs up against the Raiders. And we'll talk to Jamal Fogarty about that later there. But the Bulldogs turned that around. The one that impressed me, though, was the Bunnies. Backs against the wall, up against it, come back against the Broncos. And who was the man who stood out? Was that man Latrell Mitchell, and it was a big game. He came up with all the big moments in this one too.
Yeah, look, there's good players and there's great players, isn't there? And you always look at the great players to win your games. And Latrell, South, they're underdepleted. There's a lot of injuries. There's not many good players in the team, but Latrell just pulled through and won the game for them.
It was his special moments, Bowen. I know you've talked a lot about this before. He's not a player like a Pappenhausen that's going to be on the ball everywhere. His efforts are all over the field. He's a moments player. He's a key moments player. And he came up with some of the biggest plays of the year. Some try-saving tackles that not many fullbacks pull off. A field goal that we haven't seen. And what about the walk-off when he kicked the field goal? The way he just walked off. I thought that was the coolest thing I've seen in rugby league this year. But this is what you've talked about for a long time, is Latrell is there for the big moments.
100%. He is that clutch player moment. He's there when you need him. And I think, he's definitely come back in off suspension, knowing what he's got to do. And especially Origin, he's knocking on Origin's door as well. But I want to give him a shout-out for what he did before the game, a couple of days before. He sent the most beautiful message to a lady that was in hospital. She's one of the biggest Bunnies fans, and I really want to give him a huge shout out for that, because he does that type of stuff. He is that kind of person. Other media outlets, other people make out like Latrell is this big bad person when he does so much in the community, and we love him for that. And I think when he's doing stuff like that as well, it just reflects on the field and how confident he's feeling. And he loves to give back, and I really admire him for that.
I tell you what's really interesting, though, is the Broncos. The collapse of them in the second half, the form of them this year. Michael Maguire was going, and we all expected this team to turn into a championship-threatening team. They've actually gone backwards from where they were last year. I feel it hasn't worked, the recruitment of Ben Hunt to match him with Adam Reynolds. Ezra Mann, just about to come back from footy, came back on the weekend, did well. Is he the key to unlocking this Broncos backline? They look like they're a little bit under pressure. They look stressed and they don't look happy with their football at the moment.
Yeah, look, Madge is an intense coach, and that's not criticising him. He is an intense coach, and does it suit the players at this club? I don't know. There's only 11 games into the season, and it's a hard job coaching at the Broncos. It's a high profile club, so how do you manage this as a coach? But also, where do you put Ezra when he comes back into the side? Hunt's going to be out for the next couple of weeks. Cobbo, where do we put him? He's always been transitioning into different positions. And just with Major, I feel like there's a challenge at the Broncos at the moment.
Yeah, well, they look like a team that's walking on eggshells at the moment. I think they need to feel free and happy with their football, and we'll see them play their best. I tell you what, I've really loved the Raiders this year, watching them play. And a big contributor, and the man who's been leading it, is that man, Jamal Fogarty. And he joins us now on the show here today. Hey, Jamal, how are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm good. What's happening, bro?
Nah, not much, man. Really been enjoying watching you play this year, man. I think you're having your best season so far. And the football you guys are playing down there in Canberra is going really good. Tell us about it. What's the feel down there at the Raiders in season 2025?
Yeah, there's a good vibe around the place, to be honest, Dino. We've got a whole lot of young fellas coming through that are just raw, energetic, good footballers. And then you've got, obviously, the experienced players like Big Papa and Joey Tarpany, Hudson Young, myself in there to try and steer them around the park and keep their heads level, because in all the young fellas, there's a lot of football in there and there's a lot of thrill. And then we've just got to find that right balance. But I think it comes back to the preseason that we had as well. We had made a lot of emphasis on our connection, and a little part of that was, if you want to be on your phone at training, you got to sit in your locker room. So if we're out in the kitchen, you're not allowed to be on your phone. We want to connect. We want to get to know one another, especially for the younger fellas and the new fellas that come to the squad. If you're in the physio room, there's no phones in there. We're connecting, we're yarning up, or we're going for coffees. And I think that's probably played a big part in getting to understand everyone, making sure we all come into training happy and enjoying, you know, every single day, and it's obviously transferred to the field so far in the first 10 rounds.
Brother, it's Bo here. Look, I want to talk about your form. You're a common name in our household these days, especially with my sons when they're watching you. Look, your form has been superb this season. You know, what have you worked on and, you know, what do you put that down to? Was it pre-season or is it just you? You know, we always knew you had this type of talent, but it's just, yeah, absolutely amazing at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. I think it comes back to the pre-season as well. Obviously, being that senior half now, I get to play the style that I want to play. And I'm very comfortable in being myself and what I bring to the team. I think in previous years, I've probably been a little bit scared to stuff things up and probably not be true to myself in playing my style of footy, whereas this year I'm pretty confident in what I can bring to the team, and the team accepts that, and so do the coaching staff. And a lot of that comes back to the preseason with the coaches, you know, saying, you know, we just want to work on little things each and every single week. And for me, when I'm defending well and my kicking game's on point, I feel confident in my ability, and it probably rubs off on the team there as well. So a lot of stuff to still work on. It's only round 10, but we're heading in the right direction, especially myself.
Hey, bro, it's T here. Ricky Stewart, like we've talked about him in the past, and as a coach, you've talked about him, how he's mentored you and moulded you, you know, to become a better player. And I think one of them was your kicking game. You know, what is the relationship with Ricky over the past years, and, you know, how has he helped you in your career?
Yeah, I think the big thing with our relationship is we can be very open and honest to one another, and we don't take it personal. And the other part of that is when I'm at training, you know, he's always into me, telling me to practice my spirals or practice this kick. I need you to do it in our scrimmage at training, because if you're not going to do it, then you're not going to do it in the game. And there's been a couple of times where I've kicked it out in the form and he doesn't really care about it. He said, just get on with it. That's going to happen. I'd rather it happen at training and at least you're practicing it. So I think that's just been a confidence thing for myself as well. It doesn't matter if I muck it up at training, just keep getting on with it, put your errors to the side. And yeah, it just comes with a bit of confidence before the repetition that I've been doing there as well. So it definitely helps.
Bros, next year, moving on from the club, going to Manly. Tell us a bit about that. I know you don't want to look too far away from the Raiders at the moment, but what was behind the move to Manly? What was that decision made?
Yeah, I think just the opportunity for myself, Dino. You know, I played a lot of Queensland Cup and work my backside off to get here in the NRL. And obviously the Raiders are a little bit strung by a salary cap, and they've got a couple of young kids coming through. So there wasn't really a clear path for me to stay down here. And Manly offered a three-year deal. And obviously it's pretty clear that they need a halfback. So for me, with the job security and the 3 years to continue to play in the NRL was a no-brainer for myself there. So just very grateful for the opportunity, you know. So I'll get up there, you know, later in the year and work my backside off. But for now, I'm all in on the Raiders, and I think we're on the right track to playing some finals footy and giving the competition a real good shake.
Now, the man you're replacing at Manly there is the current Queensland halfback, and I know that's a job that you've spoken confidently about. You're ready to take over there if you're given the opportunity. And where are you at with it all? Because every week I see you getting better and better, and I feel you're made for this Origin arena. What's your confidence like going into this last couple of weeks? Has Billy Slater spoken to you at all?
No, I haven't had any chats with anyone around the Maroons there. But to be fair, I'm a very realistic person, bro. I think Queensland's in safe hands there. They've got Tommy Dearden up at the Cows playing some mad footy, and you got Munster, Cherry Evans, they've all been there before, and you got Ponga and Reece Walsh as well. So I'm sure they're in safe hands, but if the opportunity was to go into camp and learn a couple of things, that'll give me a lot of confidence to keep doing what I'm doing. And if, you know, there was a chance that I was the player, I'd back myself and give it a crack. You know, I'm a proud Queensland fella, and ever since I remember being a little fella, I'd watch Origin Wednesday night, you'd walk out saying your junior club name and who you are and stuff like that. So it'd be pretty mad if that was to happen, but I'm also a realistic person there too.
Jamal, just a bit away from footy now, brother. I know you love getting out into community. You came up with me last year to Kawanyama up in the Cape York. up there. We went to the nursing home and hung out with some of the elders there. You know, you're also an ambassador for Win the Day, which is Christy Giddo's foundation that helps support families with kids with cancer. What else is next for you, brother? Like, what else are you doing? I know you love that type of stuff. So what's next for you in that space?
No, I think anything in the community is a good distraction. And it's also a good reminder, you know, that we're very blessed and lucky to play rugby league as a job. But, you know, we think the world's going to end after losing a game. But when you get out there in the community, like especially with Win the Day charity, they're kids with cancers. And, you know, some of them are newborn, some of them are only a couple of years old. And for them to face that kind of stuff, you know, us as rugby league players, we don't have an issue at all. So it keeps me grounded. But it also gives us an opportunity to get out in the community. Like, it's not hard for us to go and say hello to a couple of kids, you know, with all of our colours on and put a smile on their faces for a couple of hours and distract them from what's going on in their real life. So, and then obviously being Indigenous, you know, I want to try and be a good, healthy role model for all of our people out there. Obviously we face health issues and all that kind of stuff. And I just want to show everyone out there, especially our mob, that there's a different way. You know, you can be healthy and exercise and chase your dreams when you know surround yourself with the right people. And I've been lucky enough to have pretty good role models in Presto up there on the Gold Coast. You know, he's always out and about doing stuff in the community, and I just want to be similar to him.
Yeah, bro. Well, I love it that you got the shirt on there. You got the painting in the background there. You actually look like it's NAIDOC week every week for you down there in Canberra. But rest of the season, bro, where are the Raiders at? Are you progressing the way you'd like at the moment? What do you need to work on to make sure you're at your best come end of the year and a real contender?
Yeah, we're definitely on the right track there, Dino. We're always talking about our growth every single week. You know, there's good parts of our game and then there's not so good parts of our game, but we need to learn in both of those and we need to be consistent. That's one thing that we probably haven't been the last couple of years. And I think, you know, especially us older fellas, we're having real conversations with one another and we're chipping one another and we're not taking it personal. I think that's just been a reflection of our season so far. So if we keep looking at it a week at a time, keep putting the team first, every single training session, every single week, we've got to make sure we work hard for one another. And at the end of the day, bro, it's a team sport. You know, if we work together as a solid team and hungry like we are, we're going to go far this year. And, you know, then there's going to be individuals that get the rep jerseys and stuff off the back of that. So for us, it's just keeping it very simple. We know we've got mad talent. We just got to be consistent with it.
Well, brother, I look forward to watching the Raiders every week. I love watching your performances this season. You're really enjoying it. Good luck for the rest of the year. Good luck with this Origin coming up over the next few weeks. I hope we get to see you out there because you're made for Origin. You're ready to go and you'll do a great job there for Queensland.
My name is Tay Cochran. I play for the Bulldogs. I'm a fullback and I play in the Jersey Flag competition. I'm from Taree and I'm Biripi Mob. Biripi is up on the mid-north coast. Goes from the mountains down to the water. Totem's a shark. Beautiful area up there. Love going down the beach, getting out, going fishing, camping. Most important thing about my culture is just having all the ancestors teaching us the ways and everything they've done for the land and hopefully one day pass it down to the younger generation when I'm a bit older. Around Christmas time, you know, me and all the family get together, everyone comes around and we go camping down in a sacred place that we got in Taree. Get a feel for what it was like back then. Well, Mum and Dad said I was always walking around with footy in my hand. You know, growing up, playing backyard footy, everyone loves footy growing up in the country and everyone wants to be an NRL player.
The ball by Stephen! And don't tell me he's done it!
Benny Barber was always my favourite. All the freaky plays used to do, try to do that.
Barber goes himself, oh, Ben Barber!
Watch him at the knockout every year, carve up. Inspiration, really, how he's still doing it at this age.
Benny Barber kicks across the field. Here's an opportunity. It's gone!
My dad's had the biggest impact on me playing football. Everyone's always told me how good he was, how little local legend. He was a front rower, so different position to me. All the old boys, they always have a story about how good Dad was back in the day. So I guess just trying to live up to that a bit. I started playing footy with the Taree Panthers and went down to Old Bar Pirates. Played most of my junior footy down there. Played a couple seasons with first grade. Got the opportunity to come down to Sydney here with the Bulldogs. And I played SG ball for a year. Then went back home, played the first grade season back there. And then I still had the opportunity to come down the next year and play Jersey Flag with the Bulldogs. We won the grand final last year. And this is my second year in the Jersey Flag competition now. transition from Tari to Billmore was very different. I'm way more faster here, different from back home, but yeah, it's just how multicultural it is here and all the sort of Lebanese food, a bit different than kangaroo, full on. It's just a family club. Ever since I came down here, I felt really welcome. They gave me a house to live in, so I was comfortable from the get-go. Everyone around the club always look after each other and yeah, it's just good culture here. Best piece of advice I'd receive is probably just keep pushing. Them two words, keep pushing, I guess. You're always gonna feel like you're down, but if you just keep pushing through, you know, you'll get there. The opportunity to chase dream isn't always there, so just go for it. You're always gonna get setbacks, like I've had a few setbacks so far in my career. If you just keep at it, you know, good things are gonna come. Just be patient. Shout out to the beer pie mob back home.
Beer Pie Mob there. He looks a very talented player there. We wish him all the best there, young Tay. Going to be interesting to follow his career. Now, round 11 of the NRL coming up this week. Some big games here. The Bulldogs up against the Roosters. Always a tough clash, that one there. I know the Roosters will get up for that. The Dolphins versus the Waz. Look forward to seeing that. The Cowboys and the Seagulls there. That's going to be a good one. A lot of origin spots there available. We'll see the fight out there. And two form teams with a bit of a rivalry and a bit of history against each other. The Sharks going up against the Storm. So some interesting games there. One, I want to give a shout out to one of our favourites here on the show in the Knights versus Eels game this weekend. Dane Gagai will play his 300th game. He played 200 for the Knights just a week ago. Tell your player you've played with up there, Gags. Certainly a tough competitor and been one of the real good players of this generation of footballers there. Good on him. Well done. Congratulations hitting 300 games.
Yeah, you only have to look at his career. He's done so much. Like, I remember the Origin getting player of the series when he was on the wing, you know. It's just a massive achievement. But, yeah, Dane, as a young kid, I remember when he came down, Wayne got him up from Queensland. He was at the Broncos. He was a bit of a prospect. And I just watched the game, one of his games. I could see, you know, he had a good palm on him, pushing off plays. He was playing fullback, you know, bouncing around, really good competitor. But when he come down to Newcastle, he was about that brand, like discipline, hard worker. You told him what to do, you know, he just done it. You tell him to jump and he said how high. He was just one of those young kids that come up through the ranks, and as an older player, mature player now, you can just see he's a really good leader for the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, well done and congratulations, Gags. Now, in this Storm versus Sharks clash, the big one I'm looking forward to is the clash of the fullbacks. Mm-hmm. Will Kennedy, the current Daly M leader, up against Ryan Pappenhausen, who scored 4 tries last week. Both these two are dynamic and playing great football, real entertainers, and just people that you love to watch every week.
Dino, this is going to be a big one. You know, they're both in form fullbacks at the moment. And like you said, Will leading the top of the Daly M scores. And, you know, I'm excited for this game. And I think it's going to really separate who is the better in form fullback at the moment. Because for me, these two players are the top two fullbacks that are in form at the moment. And the thing that I get really confused about, or more that annoys me, is that I guarantee you they're not even in the talks around Origin at the moment. And I always think to myself, why isn't these informed players, you know, even in the conversation? We look at Presto, you know, when he won the Daly M medal and was never in the conversation. You two might have a bit more of an idea why.
Well, size, T. And you played for New South Wales, and you look at the size of Tamana. He's a big outside back there. But New South Wales go for size. And these two guys are two small players. And that'll be the main thing on a selection table holding them back is the size. Would that be right, T?
Look, yeah, you have a look at the past. New South Wales always pick on size. Big centres, big wingers, and Guskell's, you know, said it in the past. Big backs win Origin. So, yeah, it's going to be a very big challenge for them, yeah.
Dino, I think if they were in the Queensland team, they'd be straight in.
Yeah.
So,
Matty,
you know,
Bowen.
We looked
Matty
at
Bowen,
the Matty Bowens of
Billy
the world.
Billy Slater.
Yep. So, to me, it's quite confusing. And you know, you've got someone like Will who steps up when he plays knockout footy. We've been at knockout footy. We know how tough that competition is. So, yeah, I wish them all the best and I hope their names are in that conversation, but we'll wait and see.
We'll watch them in a great clash this weekend. Speaking of Origin, the women's Origin's on again, Thursday night at Allianz. New South Wales named the same team. Very confident with their team. And I thought they'd pulled off a masterstroke with naming that fast team. We had Liv Kearney come on here last week and talk about the preparation that the New South Wales team put in. And they've named that same side. And I think they'll learn a lot from last year, where they were beaten in game two, probably with the better side. Mm-hmm. And I hear all the interviews that they're doing, and redemption is the key thing for New South Wales going into this game. But Queensland Bow have made one change there. They brought the girl in that you said, Chelsea Lanaduzzi, who should have been there from the start. Is this enough, though, for Queensland to turn this around?
I hope it is. And I think if Tamika Upton and Taryn Aiken are on their game, they definitely can turn it around. And with having Chelsea Lanaduzzi, like, I looked at that forward pack, and to me, you know, I'm thinking to myself, New South Wales are looking at that forward pack and going, they're not even a threat in the last game. So that's why they were just rolling over the top of them. But now when you got someone like Doos come in, you know, she's got an offload, she's a big body, you know, she's got a good palm on her. Hopefully she can set a better platform than what they did in the last game to get some quick play of the balls, you know. And I think what will get them is their offload game. If you can get her to get some really good offloads, I think we're going to see a different Queensland team. It's going to be hard to beat them down here. It definitely is. And we, like you said, we heard from Liv last week that it's a redemption for them. They want this game bad. So, you know, Queens are going to have to come with their best game, or else it's going to be a 2-0 loss.
So you've been there before, played Origin. You never write Queensland off. And this is a danger game for New South Wales.
It is a massive danger game. And it happened last year at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. But you can go into a preview and watch last week's game. And usually you do that when you're watching a review on teams. And you can see the gaps, and you can see players miss tackles and the less efforts. And sometimes you can go into these games thinking that they're going to do the same thing, but they don't. They turn up for the game. So it is a danger game for New South Wales. Mm-hmm.